my wrist. Look at the ice on my wrist. Look at the ice on my wrist. Come on, give me your kiss. All right, what's up, man? I'm here late night chopping it up. What's going on? How y'all doing, family? I am late night chopping it up. This is Tariq Nasheed. Welcome to Tariq Radio. Glad y'all stayed up with the player. We're up chopping up some good game, ladies and gentlemen. I need you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Let everybody know that we're live right now. We're going to take that real quick commercial break. Don't you go away, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Have you been feeding your skin quality ingredients? Are you dealing with any type of skin condition such as eczema, hyperpigmentation, body acne, or discoloration? Here at Joy House Essentials, our triple whip shea butter is 100% handmade and whipped to perfection, guaranteeing results you will see and feel instantly. Give your skin the nourishment it deserves and stop using harmful, chemical-based products today. You can find us at www.thejoyhouseshop.net or give us a follow on Instagram at @jheshop. Joy House Essentials, let's elevate together.
Hey, I'm Marcus. I've been working a dead-end job for years and have been depressed. But then a friend recommended a book reading Guide to Being Black in IT. I read the book and the author took me through scenarios and gave me tips, which took an hour. I practiced using Cloud Labs, got certified, revised my resume, applied for some IT contracts, and got the job. If you're looking to get into IT or even in the field, now this is a must-read book. Go to www.beingblackinit.com.
Check out my new album, it's titled Foundational Black America. Packed full of that woke, critical race theory that scare ya. See, we created hip-hop here in this North American area, and we must protect our own before they erase and bury ya. Yeah, reparations is still our number one criteria. I'm FBA all day, Foundational Black America. Check me out at BossCrilla.com. That's BossCrilla.com.
Tune in to the Amiri Brown Show on YouTube, where they discuss all topics intrinsic to the black experience, from dating and marriage to race, economics, social issues, and politics. Subscribe to the Amiri Brown Show channel and tune in throughout the week. Make Black America great again or die trying.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I got the real smooth, mellow, Mackish music on right now. Because we doing it late night, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing it late night. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I see some of my mods in the room. Shout out to D. Tubman in the room. Shout out to Michael Wharton in the room. Shout out to Nikki the God in the room. Y'all share the broadcast. What's up, Miss Love? Shout out to Miss Love. Shout out to all the mods making sure the room is going and flowing correctly. Few things we're going to chop up game with about tonight. One thing I have to speak on, the reparations rally that we were going to have on October 15th. There was some things going on. The permit office were kind of stalling and dragging ass, and they weren't getting back with us. And we were desperately trying to get an answer or get access to the actual permit. And we were kind of getting the runaround. And then we saw that there was another event the same weekend that's going to be on that Sunday, the 16th, another reparations rally. And these folks got the permit, looked like damn near overnight. So we're like, hey, what the hell is going on here? And I was going to just kind of ignore it. But I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Because a few months ago, we've been trying to get a permit for months. We've been trying and calling and trying and going up there. Jade was going up there and I was calling and we were emailing and just doing overnighting information. And I'm doing all this in the middle of making a movie. So I'm like, damn, I can't just waste time trying to contact these people. So after, like, when it got to August, I'm like, well, it looked like it just ain't gonna go down. But now, look, I'm done with the movie now. I'm done with the movie. So now I got time. So we found out this guy, this brother named Rashad, and I don't know the brother. I don't know him. He might be a cool guy. I don't know. But I just found it very interesting that they got a permit. And a lot of people on the Twitter space arena, they were asking questions. A lot of people are kind of skeptical of his event that's going on because it just comes out of nowhere. A lot of people don't really know the gentleman, not saying good or bad, not saying he's a good guy, bad guy, not saying anything. I'm not passing judgment, but a lot of people look at it as very suspicious. You dig? And my team and I, we've been corresponding with the permit office now. And for some reason, the park ranger thought that their event is connected with us. It was an email that I got today, actually, from one of the park rangers. And she was like, yeah, you guys requested to do your thing, your event at another plaza. Like, no, we didn't. So some reason there's a whole bunch of confusion going on right now. There's a whole bunch of confusion. Somehow, some of the people at the park services think that event is connected with us. So I'm like, well, did somebody call up there and try to represent us or misrepresent us and add these folks on? So I'm telling you, the rabbit hole gets deep with this stuff. And that's what I don't know. I don't know. But look. So, and again, the lady might be capping. It might be all cap. But anyway, we were on a Twitter space with the gentleman, the brother Rashad guy, and we were talking to him. It was a lot of us talking. I hopped on for a quick minute, and let me let y'all hear some of the conversation because a lot of people had questions, and it's you know, I'm not going to play the whole, you know, hour or whatever. I'm going to play my part when I chimed in. Hold on, let me find this. Because, yeah, we had a lot of questions, and now this event pops up overnight. Nobody knows about the gentleman. It's by the National Reparations League. Nobody has ever heard of that. And when we were talking to the gentleman, he wasn't even sure who he's going to have speak. There's one person he's going to have speak, a brother, Hawk Newsom. Hawk Newsom is a good guy. I know Hawk. Hawk is my brother. Hawk does a lot of good activism work against police brutality out there in New York. You know, very thorough brother as far as that. I don't know how thorough and well-versed in reparations my brother Hawk is. Is it? I don't know. But the guy, the Rashad guy, you know, we were asking questions. Let me play some of the Twitter space conversation right here. Let me play some of that. Hold on.
I want everybody to understand a lot of our position is we've been trying to get the permit for reparations march since like June. We've been trying to do that, like physically going up there, emailing and calling every other day.
Let me go back.
Brother Lewis Allen.
Hold on.
That got burned as we go.
Do you guys have any? You guys have any in Cobra or NARC?
Hold on, wait.
Right now.
Let me go back.
We don't want to be too.
Trust you to speak for me. I've never even attacked feelings. I mean, I get.
Wait.
But I didn't. But
I can accuse me of a.
Hold on.
How's everybody doing, family?
There it is.
Bless.
You good? Good. Got to give a shout out to my brother Hulk. Hulk is my brother. The real brother does very good work. With that being said, we just want to get a lot of clarity to what's going on. We don't want to be too accusatory. Brother Rashad, is he here, Brother Rashad?
I'm here, brother.
How are you, sir? It's my first time meeting you. How are you, my brother?
Peace and blessings, family. All is well. How are you?
I'm good. And brother, I want to ask, with the march that you have planned, who are some of the speakers that you have planned for your march?
That's a great question, brother. Brother Naheem, is one of them. Brother, getting ready to reach out to you before all this confusion seemed to happen on Twitter yesterday. A letter here written out. We wanted to write to a few congressional people as well. Interested in reparations, but we haven't gotten that far yet. But who's on the panel right now is Brother Naheem, Brother Hulk, Brother Hulk's sister, Sister Nikki, Brother Louis Allen out of Louisiana, Brother Robert Turner, who many of you know is he was the pastor of the Tulsa church that got burnt down on Black Wall Street. He was a hard reparationist, and now he's in Baltimore. So he's going to make it down to D.C. as well. So kind of shooting from the hip, brother. But we're definitely reaching out to people as we go.
Do you guys have any in Cobra or NARC people scheduled to be a part of it?
Nah.
Okay, so we heard that part. Hold on. Okay, so I wanted to know, like, hey, who's going to be on this thing? And the guy, you know, they still sound like he's kind of trying to flesh it out. He threw some of the names out there. A couple of people we knew, some we didn't, but when he said congressional people, catch that. When he said congressional people and then went into some other people, he said, yeah, a few congressional people, catch that. And then he like, I want to get you, you know, okay, I'm not going to be a part because I don't know what's what. It's kind of, you know, up in the air. But shout out to our sister Teslin. Teslin circled back and asked him, hey, who are these congressional people you're talking about? Shout out to Teslin. I'm glad Teslin circled back. Listen to this part right here. Hold on.
They gave us there. They got the Capitol in the backdrop and everything. So, yeah, bro.
So, quick question. What congressional leaders were you planning on inviting? I'm just curious. You mentioned you were going to invite some congressional leaders.
Right. Obviously, you know, the two main ones that stick out to me, if there is, I mean, this is not something that's set in stone, but obviously Cory Booker and Sister Sheila Jackson, they are doing things toward, you know, but I understand a lot of people have problems, you know what I'm saying? I understand a lot of people got problems with them, and if they don't need to be there, they ain't got to be there.
Oh boy, there it is, family. There it is. Shout out to Teslin for catching that. See, that's why you gotta have folks who's all on the same page and on the same vibe. The sister knew, hey, I need to follow up on that question. Teslin got that. Teslin did that. Shout out to Teslin for circling around to get some clarity on that. Cory Booker. You see, that's why he kind of knew when he said, yeah, some congressional leaders and some, and then he kind of changed the subject real quick and Teslin caught it. Yeah, he didn't want to say that initially. I'm not passing judgment on our brother. I'm not passing judgment, but man, Cory Booker and Sheila Jackson Lee? No. No, no, no. Yeah, that event, man, a lot of us think that that's some kind of Democratic front event, ladies and gentlemen. That sounds like some controlled opposition stuff from the Democrats. Again, I'm not accusing our brother Rashad. Again, I don't know that gentleman, but I'm just saying what it low-key looks like. You guys, I'm going to ask you guys, What do y'all think this is? It looks real strange. It looks like it's going to turn into a Clyburn fish fry. You understand what I'm saying? I think there might be some catfish nuggets out there. It seems very suspicious. So with that going on, and again, we're still calling, corresponding with the permit people. And now, you know, they're getting back at us now. Because I'm looking at the thing. I'm like, wait a minute. These, I can't be denied a permit because that's a violation of our constitutional rights. We have a right, even if, you know, there's some alphabet agency that put in a word like, hey, stall them out. Hey, you can't do that. Because I have a constitutional right and we have a constitutional right to assemble, and we have a First Amendment right. So we start getting some of our heavyweights on the phone and we're pushing the line. Because what really made me say, hey, we need to go ahead and move forward with this stuff. I'm not going to let these people deter us, because now this sounds like it's about to be some kind of weird setup. They're going to use our reparations momentum to put some characters on here that we don't know, to put some people up here that has not really been vetted by the grassroots community. We don't know who some of these people are. We don't know what their get down is. Some of them we do know, and we do know that a lot of them are real clicked in with the Democrats as far as pushing these other agendas. So I'm like, man, we might have to push forward. So then I saw this ad here. I saw this ad, family, this Get Your Booty to the Polls Part 2. The Democrats put this lowbrow pandering video out to pander to black folks to get us out to vote. Now, of the groups, when it comes to them getting out to vote, when they want to get them to vote, they start offering tangibles. They start telling you what they're going to give these people. They have their suit and tie representatives show up, represent and speak about what's needed, and the politicians cater to their needs. But with us, instead of doing what we want, they give us lowbrow sexual entertainment. Last year, they gave us Get Your Booty to the Polls. It was a bunch of twerking. So now, the same company that brought you Get Your Booty to the Polls, here's a new video ad to get us to vote. No voting, no bucking. I got to be very careful with the language here so I don't get a strike. But check it out. Hold on. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Let me turn it. Okay. Here we go. You got a bunch of immigrants in there. Look at the immigrants in there. A lot of immigrants in there. All right. Oh, wow. Got a man with a BBL talking about, if you want to hit his booty, you got to do your duty. All right. All right. This is so buck broken, right? This is just a poster film for buck breaking. All right. Okay. To gerrymander this coochie. All right. All right. Okay, Okay, so if the coochie is the goal, if the coochie is the goal, go hit the polls. All right? So this is what they think of us, ladies and gentlemen. This low vibration, low brow nonsense, this is what these people think of us, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely disgusting, and this is insulting. It's disrespectful. No other group will have politicians pander to the underbelly of their society. We have to, especially as foundational Black Americans, we have to say enough is enough. I'm tired of these people, with the help of the dominant white society, making this type of filth indicative or the mainstay of our culture. It is not. They have to elevate this nonsense and make it represent Black culture. It's always some lowbrow, tacky plantation nonsense. This incentivized ignorance. And we have to put the responsibility on the white supremacists, because understand, they're the ones who fund this stuff, unfortunately. We can talk about what we need to do as a community, which is true, but we have to understand who funds this stuff. Let's look at some of the people who's behind these lowbrow ads. A lot of us on Twitter, we've been pointing this stuff out. These are the people that's behind these campaigns. All right. The board members of these campaigns, Civic Nation and all of that stuff. These are the people behind that stuff. Civic Nation is a team. So, yeah, this was co-sponsored by Civic Nation. I'm sorry. All right. Stephanie Young. OK. Who looks non-FBA. So we got to look and see who these people are. Hold on. Some more stuff. Sister Teslin put some stuff up about the people behind this stuff. All right. Let me see. The ad on Black, it's a Black dating app. When We Vote, led by Michelle Obama, Stephen Curry, Becky A.G., S. Gomez, Tom Hanks. So these are some of the people behind that stuff. When We All Vote, look at these white people. Look at these white Hispanics. Look at the white LGBT people. Jonathan Lee, we got non-FBA, we got immigrants, we got whites. All of these people behind this When We All Vote nonsense. These non-Black people. So we got to see it for what it is. We got to see this stuff for what it is. They put a lot of money from the dominant society to promote lowbrow nonsense so that we can take our eyes off what we need to take our eyes on, which is reparations, which is tangibles. We have to get tangibles for foundational Black Americans. So family, this is why we're pushing on with the rally. We are now changing the date to November 5th. We're going to do it Saturday, November 5th, because we wanted to do it before the elections, the midterm elections. The midterm elections is going to be on the 8th of November. We're going to do this on November 5th. We have a company that specializes in expediting permits working with us. So these folks are not going to be able to lollygag and drag ass and give us the runaround. They're going to have to give us the permit in a timely manner. So we're working on that diligently. And looks like it's going to go through, because now the people that we've been trying to correspond with, now that we got an extra team on it, they're getting some act right and they're hitting us back up. So looks like we're going to have the event November 5th, and we're going to need everybody to come on through to Washington, D.C. This is going to be monumental, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to let everybody know when we got the official green light within a couple of days. We're trying to get this done in a couple of days with permit in hand and everything. November 5th, 2022. We already got our speakers confirmed. It's going to be me. Sister Jade is going to be the host. We're going to have Teslin. She's down. We're going to have our brother Marcel Dixon. We got Reza, and we're going to get some other people lined up. Reza is down, Reza Islam. We're going to get this thing popping. Yep, we got a month to go, and we're going to do it. We got a month to go. That's a month from now. That's enough time for us to get busy and do what we need to do. We got a month. Y'all need to come on, show up, and show out, ladies and gentlemen, because we are going to get bombarded with this type of lowbrow pandering. We're going to see this in large numbers. What you're going to see now in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see the Collard Green Coalition. They're going to start wheeling out the collard greens and the catfish nuggets. We're going to see a lot of plantation pandering. So we have to counter that. We have to counter that, ladies and gentlemen. This is why it's going to be very important for everybody to show up out there to D.C. Yes, I'm going to reach out to Brother Phil Scott, too. Remind me to reach out to Phil Scott. Who else do we need to get? Sandy Darity? Reach out to Sandy Darity to see if he's available, guys. All right? Reach out to them. We're going to make this thing happen, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all start getting ready. Clear your schedule for that time frame. You see, we got to be consistent with this stuff. Oh, I got time now. I'm done with the movie, so I got all the time in the world now. I'm still about to start the hip-hop film in a second. We're going to start that in a second. And speaking of hip-hop, y'all, boy, Kanye. Speaking of hip-hop, yeah, shout out to Randy Short. Yes, Dr. Anderson. I want to see if Claude Anderson is going to be available too. Oh, yeah, my brother Chase McGee, who's in the new movie, American Maroon. You dig? Throw some more names out there, some people we should bring. We're going to bring all the grassroots folks. Hey, I'm going to be on Rock Newman's broadcast a couple of weeks from now because I'm already going to D.C. in a few weeks. I'm doing Rock Newman. And I might even go out there earlier just to look around and get all the logistics of the area so that we can get the staging and all that stuff together. But I digress. Your boy Kanye. So Kanye was at some kind of fashion show and he was up there with Candace Owens. And Kanye and Candace had on some very interesting shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Let me show y'all what Candace and Kanye had on. Let me show what they had on. Hold on. They had on these interesting shirts. Some of y'all might have seen this on social media. Let me big this up a little bit. So this is Candace and Kanye. Look at what they're rocking, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Wait.
Taste the biscuit.
Oh, so they got on their White Lives Matter shirts. Now, look, Kanye, they do stuff. Kanye knows how to market and promote and get people talking about him by basically being a contrarian. That's Kanye's shtick, is to be the perpetual contrarian. If the group is going this way, he's going to go the other way just to be contrary. Well, let me turn my mic. I always forget to turn my mic on. So Kanye West is being a contrarian. Kanye knows how to promote his stuff by being the perpetual contrarian. If the group goes one way, he's going to go the other just to be contrary, just to be different. But here's the thing with Kanye. See, when Kanye, this is what I don't like. See, when Kanye gets into some of those white spaces, when they accept him, then it's all this White Lives Matter and slavery was a choice. When he gets in them white circles, Kanye breaks out with the golden butter biscuits. But when there's some kind of situation when he's trying to see his kids and he's trying to shame his ex-wife, all of a sudden, my black kids, they got my black babies. all these people are acting like white supremacists. They treating the black man wrong. I do not like performative nigritude. I do not like that. I don't like when a nigga just, you get black as hell when you wanna try to shame your white ex-wife who you cupcaking over. See, don't use blackness as a temporary weapon or a tool that you can use. You can pull out the closet and put it back in between your cooning. You see that? Now, we don't do that. We don't do that. You dig? We don't do that. Well, yeah, when you want to shame the Kardashians, all of a sudden, you Malcolm X. They're doing the black man wrong. Oh, look at how they doing the black man and my black children, Lord. And then you get around them white folks, you get around the French, and you get around them white billionaires. And hey, you know, slavery was a choice. Black Lives Matter was a scam. You dig? Now your wife is, when your wife starts banging a white man, all of a sudden, you turn into damn Nat Turner. I just got to go to freedom now. I was going to fight and run to the North Star. No. No, we don't play that game. You see? Because, see, we out here doing this thing for real, for real. We don't put the blackness on and off like it's a fashion piece. You see? You don't want to play that game, Kanye. Don't play that game, because you played that game too many times and your black support, you know, you get abandoned. And then cats will start leaving you to the wolves with these white supremacists when they ultimately turn on you. You see? You got to be very careful playing that game, brother. You got to be very careful playing that game. You dig? A lot of other stuff. And speaking of hip hop, y'all boy, Fat Joe, he was on the Breakfast Club. Still trying to double down on that Latino hip hop nonsense. And let's play some of those clips. I wish Charlamagne and those guys checked this dude on that. I understand that there's a large Latino audience and y'all don't want to offend them, but we're going to have to spit the truth. We're not going to play this game with people coming in and milking our culture and trying to steal our culture and claim it as their own. And it is something that foundational black Americans created. It's very disrespectful for Fat Joe to keep going around saying the stuff that he's saying, and a lot of people are calling him out, rightfully so. Hold on right here, let's play this clip here. Hold on, let's get into it. Hold on, let's play this one. All right, hold on, here we go. Let me see if y'all can hear this. All right, I know my audio might be janky. Hold on.
Find yourself in arguments with kids that just might not know any better. Like, even when they say things like when
you gotta stop, Charlamagne.
No, when you said the statement about Latinos,
you got the hand and all like, yo, you got. You tell me about Latinos and hip hop.
No,
can you please tell me about Latinos?
You've been there since the beginning.
Black America,
yeah.
You got your own show. Can you please tell me?
They've been there since the beginning.
God damn! Like, right, so money. I didn't say. My wife is like the hip hop police. Her girls call her up, Latina too. What the fuck he talk about Latinos? This Latina, I gotta sit them down. Maybe they don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fact what I'm saying. Like a fact, though. This is 1,000,000,000%. The hip hop's 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's turning 50 years old. It was black and Latino. Mm-hmm. What the hell on earth you want me to tell you? I didn't.
It wasn't, though. In the beginning, it wasn't. The Latinos did not create anything that black folks didn't create. You didn't create anything in hip hop. Just because you were there in the Bronx, that's not the same thing.
Say nothing, Carl. Is this a Diet Pepsi? I said, you know, Fat Joe. This is no Carl.
Filibustering. This is filibustering.
Oh, no, that's debatable now.
Huh? You know what I'm saying? This is no controversy. This is like, yo, do you take cocaine in the morning? Like, yeah, you know, like that all of a sudden. But what happens is you gotta understand, and I have an obligation. Being a true culture, mm-hmm. a hip-hop culture, yeah. Not only that, we always been multiracial. Mm-hmm. you know, and since day one, there was Asians, there was white people there, there was this, and they...
Okay, family, this is what I'm talking about. So now, if they can sit here and co-opt it, then they can start, because you're a guest in hip-hop. You didn't create it. So now, as a guest, since you don't respect the origin of it, now you're going to try to give it to other people. Yeah, Asians too. It was Asians and white. What are you talking about? Charlemagne, why are you not checking this stuff, brother? Asians? This is another narrative that's coming from the top. This is another narrative. Where's this thing? I want to show y'all something. This is a narrative coming from the top. Come on, Asians? How did that happen? Where? Hold on, because BET put this nonsense up the other day, right before the Hip Hop Awards. Look at this. Look. You see? Watch these talking points. So this is Anderson .Paak, who's black and his mom is Asian, and the random dude, the dude who don't even rap, from the Black Eyed Peas. And they're like, there's a lot of Asian American and Pacific Islanders, AAPI, hip hop artists that deserve respect for their contributions to the genre. Check out our video about AAPI artists that you may or may not know that have a long history in the hip hop game. They're trying to give our culture to everybody, man. They're trying to rape our foundational Black American culture and give it to every damn body, and I'm offended. The dude from the Black Eyed Peas, nobody even knows this guy's name. This is how desperate they are. Just anybody who can rap, they're trying to act like they're some kind of pioneer, no matter what they do. Long as it's a non-Black person, they're going to try to give them some type of creator's credit. You see? And Joe, Fat Joe and these guys, they keep playing these word games. We was there. We was there in the beginning. No, no, no. You being in the Bronx does not mean you are a creator of hip hop. You being in the Bronx in the 1970s, being around some black people who rapped or might have went to a party, whatever, that don't make you a creator. That's why most of the old school pioneers, they keep telling the truth and people try to ignore them. They keep saying there were no Latinos around us when we were creating hip hop in the early stages. Several people keep saying this, and I believe them. I'm going to believe them over somebody who wasn't there at the time. People got this narrative, well, we were there. If you weren't there, you can't speak on it. The hell we can't, because you guys are immigrants. You guys are guests in the country. I am a foundational Black American. I can speak on foundational Black American culture because I'm more of an authority of it. Because we know the root of it, and the root of hip hop comes from the South. It comes from people who are foundational Black Americans who descended from slavery. We, as foundational Black Americans, we don't have to live in the Bronx to speak about hip hop, because as foundational Black Americans, we were born and raised in the roots of what hip hop came to be. So we have every right and authority to speak on it. Not these Johnny Come Latelys, people who immigrated here, who did not grow up on funk records, who did not grow up on the James Brown playing in your household from your parents on a regular basis. Y'all didn't grow up on that. We did. Y'all grew up on Tito Puente and all of that stuff. You're not an authority on speaking on hip hop just because you lived in the damn Bronx. Y'all not going to play the Bronx card like if you didn't live in the Bronx, you can't speak on it. Damn that. It don't work like that. You ain't even from here. You're a guest over here, buddy. Check people when they try to play the Bronx card. Just because you were in the Bronx don't mean that you were versed or you had the soul and knowledge of funk culture, which is the root basis of hip hop. Y'all didn't have it. I don't give a damn where you live. You could live next door to Kool Herc. Don't make you no authority of it because y'all were not participating in it in the early days. You were not. They start talking about some damn rock steady people who came a damn generation later. No, you were guests. You were the first students of hip hop. You did not create it. Y'all can filibuster all you want. We're going to come with facts. Let me play some more Joe and all these people talking this nonsense. See, we're talking about this thing from a historic standpoint. Hold on.
Oh, we always taught each other. Blondie did one of the first rappers. We was always taught.
Okay, now he's talking about Blondie. No. No. Now, yeah, there was a white, Asian. No, Blondie was 1980. No.
Hip-hop culture is almost like a religion. No matter where you from, no matter what. If you love this thing, if you in there breakdancing, you love this thing, you the culture. So now,
you didn't create it, though. That don't make you the creator of it.
A lot of these people, they are on Twitter and stuff like that.
He's talking about me, by the way.
No disrespect, because I don't like to alienate nobody, but they're from different places that ain't New York and the Bronx where it was created.
And y'all are not from the United States, the continental U.S. You guys are from Puerto Rico. This is not your culture. You didn't grow up with funk records. You didn't grow up on that. You weren't raised on that. We were raised on the funk. You guys were not. You are not an authority just because you lived in the Bronx looking at some brothers b-boying and DJing because y'all were not participating in that in the early days.
There was no social media. There was nothing. The first hip hop photographer is Joe Conzo, a Puerto Rican brother who took.
Okay, taking pictures is not creating anything. Just because you're taking pictures of somebody who's creating something, that doesn't make you a creator. This is how desperate they are to tie themselves into the creation of hip hop. Joe Conzo took great pictures. Photographs don't make you a creator. There was photography before Joe Conzo. He just happened to have a camera, and he took pictures of some of the b-boy parties in the late 70s, early 80s. All right? He did not create hip-hop.
Would not have any documentary you ever seen. Supreme Team. You would not have no footage if it wasn't for Joe Conzo. You have to know.
Not true. There was other people doing footage, and Joe Conzo's footage was very late 70s, early 80s. All right?
He's the first hip-hop.
Okay, Lord, you had Buddy Esquire and these people doing flyers and all of this stuff. So Joe Conzo took pictures. Joe Conzo took pictures. That does not make him a creator. People are desperate for arguments here. And then you had, who is this guy? This other guy, this Tony Touch. Tony Touch tried to double down. He was on, this was on TMZ. When was this? This is Tony Touch last month trying to defend and double down on Fat Joe's narrative. This is Tony Touch. Okay. All of them are trying to get on cold with each other to double down on these lies. So hold on. Here's Tony Touch chiming in. Hold on.
Talk about the origins like Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash. These people were from the islands. They're not even from the States. Kool Herc is Jamaican. Grandmaster Flash is from Barbados.
And?
So hip-hop was started by island people.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, it wasn't.
Puerto Rico's an island, and we got blacks in Puerto Rico, just like...
Okay, but see these weird correlations they keep trying to make? Yeah, Flash and Kool Herc were island people, and Puerto Rican is an island, and there's black people on the island, so we are all included in that. These weak ass reaches that they're trying to do. No, that don't work like that. Hold on.
Like we got whites, we got different colors of PR. So, I mean, that's another subject, right? If we want to talk about all the elements of hip hop, a lot of people think it's just rap. It ain't just rap. Hip hop is graffiti. It's DJing. It's
none created by Puerto Ricans.
MCing is breaking.
None created by Puerto Ricans.
Who dominated the break scene?
Black people, and then Puerto Ricans came a generation later.
Come on. Who dominated the DJ scene? That could go, that's argument.
What Puerto Ricans dominated the DJ scene?
That could be argued.
Right? It's not even argued. No, it can't be. He had to catch himself on that lie. You saw he caught, he had to catch himself on that lie. Yeah, the Rocksteady crew started getting busy in the 80s, a damn generation later. Then he tried to lie. He was about to lie about DJing. There are no Puerto Rican. What Puerto Ricans was dominating the DJ scene? He had to catch himself on that lie. He had to stop the lie in its track. Yeah, I can't go that far with it. Come on, Tony Touch. All right, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Right, but there were Puerto Ricans early on. Disco Wiz, Charlie Chase.
Two.
Guys are day one.
Two.
They're from day one. Rocksteady Crew, day one.
No, they weren't day one.
All Puerto Rican based, you know, crews and artists. So it's showing as no ideas original. We all copied from somebody.
Oh.
You want to get technical, we talk about hip-hop in the Bronx in the early 70s. You know, it's black and Puerto Ricans there at the same time.
They keep going, black and Puerto Ricans there at the same time don't make you a creator.
Who did what? Who did what more? He did more, whatever. People talk about Hurricane Flash, these people from the islands.
So they ain't got nothing to do with you? Okay. Oh, boy. Family, we got to stop letting people vulture off of our culture, man. Black people, you got to have more self-esteem and respect for your foundation of Black American ancestors to let these folks come in and just blatantly disrespect your damn lineage, man. Straight up and down, dude. Y'all, I'm blaming some of y'all, especially in New York. And, you know, the thing is, they are around a lot of non-FBA people, a lot of Black people who are non-FBA. And y'all, because, again, that whole island thing, they played that island game. Yeah, we're from the same island region, so I have more of a camaraderie with this Latino guy than I might with the foundational Black Americans, and that's the problem. That's why y'all ain't checking these dudes. Y'all ain't checking these dudes with that bullshit out there, man. Because y'all feel like y'all got more of a camaraderie with them dudes because y'all come from these island nations. None of y'all created nothing to do with hip-hop. I stand on that based on history and fact. You didn't create nothing. Were there some people who were thorough? Yeah. But all the elements of hip-hop was from foundational Black Americans. All of the elements. You dig? Yeah, and they're deliberately, yeah, when somebody said, why are all these Puerto Ricans getting these interviews? Yeah. That's another thing. All of you outlets with y'all Sambos and the white people interviewing these people, giving them a platform to talk all of this BS. That's another problem. Y'all keep platforming these people to let them spew this nonsense. And then people want to silence Black voices who's speaking the truth. We got to start checking everybody for allowing this stuff to happen. Allowing these people to come in and try to erase our culture. We got to check that stuff. And again, you know, the stuff with all of these janky, lowbrow voting ads with this tacky, low vibration, plantation sexual nonsense, all of that ties in to our culture being sullied. When they platform Black people, it's always some degenerate nonsense, but they're platforming these white Latinos and these other people to try to take the goodness of our culture and claim it as their own. See, this is why the grassroots is important, ladies and gentlemen. This is why it's very important for the grassroots to stomp and make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be, because a lot of people connected to the corporate structure, they're just not going to do the right thing. They let this nonsense go on. Shout out to Revolt. Revolt is, you know, they're stepping up to the plate, getting people from the grassroots to elevate our voices. Shout out to Puffy and Revolt. The fact that Revolt had us, so many of us on the grassroots at the Revolt Summit, which was a great success, that's a step in the right direction, because they understand, and our brother Reza was on a Twitter space earlier, they understand that the messaging and the crowds are really following what we're doing now. People are looking to the grassroots now. People are looking to us. Some of the artists that's out there now, you're not really trying to hear them talk. You're not really trying to hear what they have to say, because most of the people know, the public know, you got a bunch of mush mouth drug addicts out here on these labels. You don't really want to hear what they got to say. You got dudes in dresses with BBLs running around out here. Do you really want to hear the messaging they're giving you in a serious manner? You understand? Look at the screen. This is a voting ad on the screen that you're looking at, ladies and gentlemen. This is a voting ad. We're talking about voting, something that, you know, the political arena, things that will affect our lives. And this is the representative for young black people. This right here is supposed to be the representation for young black people, right there on the screen. So instinctively, a lot of people are just not going for it. People are wising up saying, hey, this ain't it. We have to look to other voices to give us the messaging that we need to get. This is where we come in the grassroots. This is why my videos, you know, I got 200,000 followers here, a couple other hundred thousand followers on Twitter, a couple of 100,000 followers on Instagram. The messaging is getting out there. People are looking to us on the grassroots to get the real messaging out and the truth out. It's very important to see that. And it's very important for you, ladies and gentlemen, because you are the real grassroots. It's important for you to get the messaging out there and to make sure the code is being abided by. We have to be on code. And we have to check people who are off code. It is off code to let these people come in and blatantly try to erase our culture. That is off code. That is hella off code. And we have to say enough is enough. You understand? And we have to not be afraid of the truth. A lot of us are afraid of the truth. A lot of us are afraid if we offend certain other groups, we're not going to get sexual access. Is that the case? I think a lot of dudes think they won't get sexual access to white women, or the sisters won't get access to the Puerto Rican poppy or whatever. Don't be afraid to offend people if you're speaking the truth. The truth is the truth. You don't have to worry about offending people. That's why, you know what, a lot of people were afraid of that Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix. A lot of people are afraid of that. I saw Lil Bootsy, he was talking about, man, we need to boycott that, man. That's crazy. We don't need to see that. There were some people talking about boycotting it. Why? Why are you trying to boycott that series? That, let me tell you something. I finished the Jeffrey Dahmer series. Excellent. Excellent series, man. Excellent series. Excellent series. That's a great series, man. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different. That's a good series, and I think it scares a lot of black folks, because a lot of black folks want to be all booed up with white people, and that shows you their get down to a certain degree. That shows you how these secret white supremacists operate. That shows you how a lot of these secret white supremacists get down, and that scares niggas. Because I saw some LGBT black people talking about, well, Jeffrey Dahmer was kind of fine. And I'm like, nigga, you just going to walk right into the danger, huh? But that Jeffrey Dahmer show, phenomenal. It scares a lot of black people to let you see how they really get down. See, the thing about the Jeffrey Dahmer series, what makes it so cold, and I tweeted about this. I said Jeffrey Dahmer was treated by the Wisconsin police and the judicial system the same exact way Kyle Rittenhouse was treated by the Wisconsin police and the Wisconsin judicial system. I've been telling people for years, the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer, that's a lesson in white supremacy. Watching the Jeffrey Dahmer show is a phenomenal lesson in understanding how white supremacy works. Because, see, the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer was that white supremacist society got on code with him and enabled him. That's how he was able to do all of those murders and get away with it for over, well, damn near 2 decades. White supremacy got on code with Jeffrey Dahmer. There was one scene where Jeffrey was in court for molesting a boy. And the judge was like, yeah, you did what you did was bad. But, you know, looking at you kind of remind me of my grandson. He said something like to that effect. And I believe people should get second chances. So I'm going to just give you 1 year and then probation. Would you like that, son? And Jeffrey was like, oh, yeah, I like that. That was a pivotal scene, man. That's the same thing they did with Kyle Rittenhouse. That judge in Wisconsin, this was Wisconsin, that judge was treating Kyle Rittenhouse like his grandson. That judge was acting as a defense attorney for Kyle Rittenhouse. You know how violent and depraved this dude was. And the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer, and I pointed this out for years, for a long time, they've always tried to make Jeffrey Dahmer out to be some kind of evil genius. He was able to get away because he was so witty and cunning, and he knew how to manipulate and evade law enforcement. And they've always made him seem like some kind of ingenious supervillain, which he was not. Jeffrey Dahmer was a moron. Jeffrey Dahmer was failing in school, had a low grade point average in school, went to college, got expelled because his grade point average was low. That man was a dumbass by all accounts. He wasn't smart at all. Not only was he not smart, he was sloppy. I want y'all to feel me. This is the thing that scared a lot of people about Jeffrey Dahmer. He wasn't a smart dude at all. He was actually dumb as hell. He was hella sloppy. There was one scene in the film, in the series, where he was driving drunk in a car with a body chopped up in a bag in the back seat, got pulled over. The police said, "Hey, you been drinking?" "Yeah, I had a couple of beers." "Hey, what's that in the back seat?" "Yeah, I've been doing some yard work." And the cop was like, "All right, get on out of here." That's not a person who's smart. That's a person who understands that he's white and his whiteness is working for him. They were just getting on code with him. This immunity from law. That's what white society is about. It's immunity from law. And they were just giving him, they wouldn't even question this dude. And in the show, they talked about the one kid he molested, but there was another case where he molested some, or he fondled himself in front of some 12-year-olds. They didn't even put that in the film, by the way. They didn't want to play up the pedophile angle too much with him. But see, this is the thing. Think about this. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Because see, Jeffrey Dahmer, he was getting away with all of these murders, killing all of these black men. He went in and moved into a black neighborhood so he can specifically target black men. They didn't play that up enough. They kind of alluded. One of the black cops was like, "Yeah, you went to the black community because you knew it was under police and you knew that they wouldn't get at you like that." "Oh, no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that." I wish they had played that up more. I mean, Jeffrey has always kind of denied, you know, that aspect. But he definitely went into that neighborhood knowing that he can get away with that stuff. And he surely did. The sisters were calling the police on this man over and over again. Some of his other victims who escaped, they were calling the police and reporting him. The police just never really wanted to investigate him. That's not him being smart. That was his whiteness working for him. You dig? His whiteness was working for him. People were calling and reporting him for years. They were reporting this man for years, and the police just didn't do anything. His whiteness saved him. And really, truth be told, the only reason they got him was the one gentleman ran out of the house, called the police, and brought the police up there. And again, there was another situation where the police were called, where the police came by and brought a boy, one of his victims, back up to the house. One boy escaped. The cops brought him back up there, and then the boy got killed. The only reason they got Jeffrey that time was that the cops came in trying to get the handcuffs off one of the brothers who Jeffrey had partially handcuffed. And they're like, "Hey, Jeff, we need you to find the key." They just happened to go in the apartment, and they saw the pictures that Jeffrey took of the dead bodies that he accumulated. If they didn't see those pictures, Jeffrey Dahmer would probably still be out here now killing people. That's the only reason they got Jeffrey. They saw the pictures of the murders. Jeffrey was so sloppy, he kept pictures and body parts in his apartment. Wasn't a smart guy in any sense of the word. And I want you to understand this. Now, Jeffrey Dahmer got away with those murders being sloppy. This was a sloppy suspected white supremacist serial killer. He was sloppy. He was up here keeping body parts in an apartment, keeping photographs of the murders in his apartment, and the police just didn't happen to go look. It took them a decade or so to just happen to go in there and look around. What if you got some Jeffrey Dahmers out here who are actually smart? Because best believe, they do have other Jeffrey Dahmers out here. Some of them who are actually smart, and they're not sloppy. They're not catching these people, because even with Jeffrey Dahmer, if Jeffrey Dahmer didn't have all of those photographs and all the body parts stored in his house, Jeffrey still could have said, hey, you know what? I had to kill them niggas because of self-defense. You know, I live in a bad neighborhood. It's crack cocaine or whatever. So, yeah, I had to kill them, and I was just scared to go to the police. Jeffrey would have got off. Do you know that? Jeffrey would have got off. All he had to do was say self-defense. The problem is he had arms and legs and penises all stored in his house, so they had to say, hey, man, shit, I got to do something to you. But trust, there's some white supremacists out there that's doing the same thing Jeffrey Dahmer's doing right now. They just haven't been caught because they are a little more smart than Jeffrey Dahmer. Why do you think so many black people end up missing? All of these missing black people that disappear every day. Black people just disappear off the face of the earth. And people ain't really looking for them. You dig? Even in the movie, Jeffrey said something like, yeah, I would kill people, then I would look in the newspaper and nobody would even mention it. You see? Jeffrey said that in the movie. He was like, yeah, some of these people I would kill, I look in the newspaper and wouldn't even be a mention of these people missing. He knew. Yeah, he understands that. These people know who to target. A serial killer, they're going to target people who the dominant society is not going to really look for. You got a whole bunch of black people missing. You got some white supremacist somewhere with a bunch of black people in an attic somewhere or in a garage or a basement right now somewhere. There's a bunch of black people hemmed up. Police ain't doing nothing about it, and nobody's reporting these people missing. You see? Y'all want to think about that. But like I said, I think the movie was great. The TV series was great. There's one thing that threw me off. One thing that took me out of reality. Now, Niecy Nash played one of the main characters who was Jeffrey's next door neighbor. She was the one who kept calling the police. She kept trying to help people running out of the building. She kept smelling the foul odor, and she kept complaining, and she kept hearing the drilling and the screaming, and you know, she just repeatedly called the police. Niecy Nash did a great job. And understand, in these shows, sometimes they have to take creative licensing and put some things in there to kind of keep the story going. And I'm going to give some spoilers here a little bit. There was one scene closer to the end where there was some complaints about Jeffrey. They kept complaining about him. And then the landlord said, hey, we're going to evict Jeffrey. We got to evict you because so many complaints about the smell. We got to evict you. So Jeffrey got upset, and he knew that the Niecy Nash character was complaining about him. So he went to her apartment. He's like, hey, I need you to take the complaint back. And then he was like, well, can I come in and talk to you? And she was like, yeah, okay. That threw me out. I said, hey, wait a minute. So the Niecy Nash character invited Jeffrey into her apartment. I don't believe that happened at all. That threw me all off. She let him in the apartment, and he had a gift. He like, I brought you a sandwich. I said, no, wait a minute. No. That I said, they're taking creative license with this. I guess they have to show the Niecy Nash character is somewhat of a hero to a certain degree. So they have to have a final showdown with the hero and the villain. I guess that's what they were trying to do. But I'm like, wait a minute. Listen, I've grown up with foundational Black American women all my life, family. I have grown up with foundational Black American women all my life. I know how foundational Black American think and act. I know good and damn well no foundational Black American woman is going to let Jeffrey Dahmer in their damn apartment at all. That right there, hell no. There was no way no sister was going to let Jeffrey Dahmer, knowing how creepy he was and all the stuff going on in his apartment, you going to say, yeah, come on in? Hell no. That threw me all off. That just took me all out of the, I had to suspend disbelief. I can't buy that. I can buy everything. I can't buy that. You're turning this into science fiction right now. Ain't no sister going to let no creepy, crazy white man, knowing he's doing strange stuff in his apartment. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. Sister will talk to his ass through the door, maybe with the chain on. She's not going to let Jeffrey Dahmer or a creepy Jeffrey Dahmer type up in that apartment. And I know he smelled like his apartment. If the apartment stank, that means he stank. Sisters, and yeah, Jeffrey came in sitting all on the sofa. Ain't no sister let no stankin' ass man come in and sit all on her shit. That's not happening. That threw me all off. No. And up here talking about, I got you a sandwich. He's not going to even entertain that conversation. So I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. They got a, she's going to have a knife or a gun or something. Yeah, that threw me off. Yeah, she didn't eat the food. She didn't eat the sandwich, by the way, but just letting him in, I knew that wasn't going to happen. That's the thing that threw me off. I'm like, okay, they could have did something better with that. That's just too unrealistic. Not even, well, a bed wench, but she wasn't that was an FBA sister. A bed wench, yeah, that's true. See, they would have to have made her Caribbean. Yeah, come on in, Jeffrey. Yeah, a bed wench would do it. But no regular FBA sister ain't letting no damn Jeffrey Dahmer coming up in their damn spot. That's not going to happen. Not happening, not happening at all. She let him in to ambush his ass, hit his ass in the head, and then call the police. Yeah, she's just not going to let him come in there and parlay and sit up. Now, I didn't believe that. But it's a good show nonetheless. Y'all go check the series out. Very good series, man. Very, very good series. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. Go check out earlier. I did a broadcast with OG Bride Dog, man. That's an OG gangster out here in LA, man. Or former gangster, real certified brother. We had a very good conversation talking about the politics of LA. Because I want people, when they come out here, man, I want people to understand the lay of the land and just kind of be safe. And I want people to hear from an OG's mouth what the game is and how you got to move out here and just what's real out here. So my brother, my OG partner, Bride Dog, man, we did a great interview earlier. You can check that out after you finish listening to this, ladies and gentlemen. People really enjoyed the interview, man. Real brother, man. Real intelligent brother, man. I tell people all the time, man, a lot of these street dudes are way more intelligent than you think they are, man. And if you get a veteran, you know, who's been through the ringer, man, you can get some good game off of him and get some and get some information and some wisdom on what not to do so you wouldn't fall in some of the traps. Some of these guys have taken the bumps and the bruises so that some of these young folks do not have to take that. So I try to, you know, I want to do more of that. I want to be the anti-Vlad. I want to be the anti-Vlad where you get people on and talk about beef and then leave the beef out there and then the shit spill over into the streets. If I get street cats on, there's always a message to deter people from a lot of the monkey business that goes on out here, man. That's the name of the game, so that they can do some other things and elevate and really go into their real potential. But anyway, man, check that out. Subscribe to this channel if you have not. Go get my book, Foundation of Black American Race Beta, on Amazon. Or you can get it at officialfba.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I'm up out of here, man. You guys have a great week. Papiakute, lullabuve to the family. Y'all be good.